Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And we are presented by our good friends at Alpha. And we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And happy, happy New Year to all of you folks out there that maybe missed us last New Year's Day, but we want you to know that we certainly wish you a happy, happy New Year. Good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Charlie. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. It's just a crisp, crisp winter morning. It feels good outside, I'm telling you. You know, we complain a lot of times about the cold when it's wintertime, but I always go back to that middle of September or late August when it is heat index is 102 can't find a place to get cooled off, and you're going, man, I wish it was January.
Wow. I'm telling you, I had a very important phone call to make last night, called Mark Lassiter. He said, I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, and we're munching on sausage and bacon and watching.
Had grilled hamburger steaks.
You know, you just keep talking.
We were watching a movie.
And what was the movie?
True Grit.
Is that John Wayne?
This was a newer version with Jeff Bridges, but it's similar, the same thing. It was really good to watch.
You can't replace John Wayne. That's not feasible. Well, while you were watching True Grit, I was watching our buddy Michael Knapp and the UMS Wright Bulldogs get a really good win over a really good St. Paul's team last night at in the Wilson Gym on the campus of UMS Wright. And, boy, so proud of Michael Knapp and Terry Canova. Had a clean sweep yesterday. The JV boys, the JV girls, I'm sorry. Yeah, the JV girls, the Terry Canova's girls basketball team, and Michael Knapp's boys varsity team defeated St. Paul's yesterday. Two really good programs. I've never seen so many cars for a basketball game at UMS Wright.
It was a great night to watch.
Oh, it was a great night. Blab TV was there. Corey LeBounty and his crew. They were
good deal.
He and Robert were there, and they just did a great job. And I want to say something about that. What a wonderful, wonderful job it is for us to have high school basketball on TV for people to see that can't get out and don't want to fight the crowd.
Absolutely. Especially in this day and age with all the thing, you know, the new variant going through it, and people can just, if they need to stay at home, they can. But, man, what an exciting thing when you got full parking lot for a basketball game.
Man.
You know, I'll go back in time a little bit on that. The biggest crowd I ever saw at a basketball game was in Johnson High School's gym.
In Huntsville.
We were playing, and our big man was Bobby Lee Hurt.
I guess so.
And theirs was Bobby Catledge.
Yeah.
Isn't that his name, Bobby?
Catledge.
Terry Catledge.
Played at South Alabama.
Yeah. Those two were in the same gym that night.
Wow.
And it was a war. And, I mean, and the place was packed and rocking. Everybody having a great – it was a great basketball game. And and that kind of, you don't forget those environments.
No,
you know, I remember that from
that's pretty cool.
All those days back. But yeah, that was exciting and great for the UMS basketball program.
Really good. And
you know how I feel about Terry Canova, and just one of my favorite people ever. Yeah. Just a guy who, you know, we were talking about him earlier, and just a guy who sees every day as, you know, he thanks God, he gets up every morning and goes through the day like, man, today's a good day. He's just the way he is.
And he gets in one of our buses that and goes across the bay and picks up our kids that come to UMS from across the bay, and then it's all day. He's with kids all day. What a joy it is. And he was our little eighth graders played at your place at Bayside the other night.
Yeah.
And who's sitting there watching those eighth grade girls play?
Terry Canova.
That's, boy, I'm telling you, we're really blessed to have two wonderful varsity basketball coaches at UMS, and Terry Canova and Mike Knapp. And congratulations to those two guys in a packed Wilson gym. Student sections were packed.
Isn't that awesome?
I'm just telling you, the student sections on both teams were packed, and it was just an amazing night. You know, we won that one. They'll win one down the road, and our kids will be there. But it's a fun night. So,
and isn't the St. Paul's girls coach a former?
Yeah, she sure is. Amanda was one of Terry's assistants. He brought her to South Alabama when he was coaching there, and yes, wonderful young,
sweet
lady.
Young. I mean, oh, she was at UMS when I was.
Yes,
there.
She was. Yeah.
I think her last name is Neoff.
Neoff. Yeah, that's it. And I just know her by Amanda. She's married now. She's got kids. But
she does a great job there,
oh,
too.
Oh, boy, she does do a great job. And so it's two really good coaches in both games and did a great job with it. So, but it was a packed house, and that is what high school – and the kids, you could just see it. They fed off of that. And, you know, when you get a chance to have – a gym full of people and everybody's into it, and the referees can't make any calls that are right, you know, and everybody's going to be – half of the crowd's going to be upset with them and other – and all that back and forth. But, boy, our administration was there in full-fledged, and headmaster, principal, all the coaches I recognize.
That's the way it ought to be.
That's right.
Everybody there supporting.
Yep.
You know, I tell you what, I always – I don't think I've ever told you this, Rick, but I've never had more respect for you when I found out that you were a basketball official at one time. Because I'm going to tell you something. I could not do that job. But you talk about, because you hear everything. You can't help but hear it.
No, I know.
You're right there, and they are just, somebody's going to be chirping at you.
That is true.
And, folks, we talk about this all the time. Sportsmanship's such a big deal.
Yeah.
And the way you talk to our officials is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, those guys go out, they work hard. They don't care who wins the game.
No.
They're just there to help coach the referee the sport that they love. And, you know, and they're going to make bad calls. I mean, good Lord, I make bad calls in a football game, you know. And I chew on officials too, you know, but you got to do it in a way that's respectful to them.
Yeah.
And let them know, you know, we're watching, and hopefully you can get a call later on maybe or whatever, but – man, those guys, and those ladies just do a fantastic job.
They do.
And, you know, when they walk out of a gym, I wish we could get it to that place where even though some calls went against your team or some went for your team, that when they walk out, you can think, man, I just appreciate those folks being here.
And we can't play if we don't have them.
We don't have, and no. I'm telling you, we're losing them.
We're losing them. We got to get them.
All sports.
Yep, we got to get them. And Alabama Officials Foundation, those guys are doing everything that they can to get more, and that's something that we really need to continue to try to promote as much as we can here. And but boy, what a great night it was! And so proud. Wes Latham does a great job. He got on that floor as soon as the game was over, controlled the crowd, made sure that everybody was. And it's an exciting time, and kids want to be out there to congratulate their schoolmates. And such a great time, and a great night, and a great, just a great way to. It's a fellowship time. It's when kids can really share with each other.
You know, that's another guy who does a great job. Wes Latham does a really good job.
He does
of
that.
Supporting. Sports and his school, whatever it is. Now, he's a football guy.
Yeah.
You know, grew up under a football coach, you know, one of our favorites, Ed Latham. But Wes has just always been – but I've noticed that when we go play places, if UMS is there, Wes shows up and he's there to support. Just to let those kids and coaches know, hey, I'm here. Glad y'all are doing what you're doing. Need any help, I'm here.
That's the thing.
That's a big deal, Coach.
Yeah, that is a big deal. The other thing, too, is – at most places, and I know at our place, Michael Knapp and Terry Canova, anytime one of our younger teams is playing, they're doing their best to try to get there. And so that's another thing. When you see your varsity coaches taking so much interest in your younger teams, and it always inspires those youngsters to be the very best they can. I know Terry's at every time one of our little football teams plays. Terry's there. So that's something that – and I know a lot of high school coaches do that, and it's just it's a wonderful thing. We got about 30 seconds left in this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about all the top high school basketball teams in the state of Alabama. And in so doing that, I want you to know that these are the sports writers that are making these polls. And really, it's really only to pique the interest of the fans,
right,
to keep them in line with who are the best high school teams in the state of Alabama. And we've got some good ones down in this area, just like up in your hometown area. Well, St. Louis, that area is your home. But this,
that's part of my home. I got a lot of homes.
I know. But up in the Huntsville area, they got a lot of good basketball.
Yes, they do.
All right, you're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report on a beautiful Saturday morning right here in Mobile, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut. It's like a dream come true. So won't you smile for the camera?
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Press Sports Report. That would be Becker and Fagan, and otherwise known as Steely Dan. And just let them play on a little bit there. You know, we're talking high school basketball. Let's give you the top teams in the state of Alabama in all classifications, and boys and girls. And the girls, let's start with the girls. The top team in 7A is Hoover. And the second team, number two, is Vestavia Hills. And they're not very far from each other, and they ain't kissing cousins.
They don't like each other.
They're competitive. No, they are competitive. But you look down there, number seven in girls 7A, Fairhope. Theodore's at eight. Foley is at 10. Daphne's got some honorable mention there. In class 6A, Hazel Green, loaded to the tee. Those guys are good every single year, do an amazing job up there. In our area, in 6A, Gulf Shores is ranked number six. They had a big win. Gulf Shores beat in the finals of a tournament. They beat McGill Tool another day. And so Gulf Shores is pretty doggone good. As you move on down, McGill Tool is got honorable mention there. They're 12-7, so Carla Berry and those girls continue to be good. In Class 5A, Lee of Huntsville is 15-4 and ranked number one. Terry Canova's UMS Wright Bulldogs ranked number three in Class 5A. Moving on down, in Class 4A, the number one team in the state of Alabama is Deschler. Deschler is loaded, and that's in Tuscumbia. Now, let's see. Let's check you out here and see if you know this, Mark.
Okay.
We had a United States Senator from Tuscumbia at one time, and since that's kind of your area, do you have any idea who that United States Senator was?
I do not.
Okay. His name was Howell Heflin, and
would have never got that.
That's, and he's no longer with us, but he was a
I do remember
distinguished
him.
American from Tuscumbia, Alabama, the home of Deschler High School. They are number one in 4A. Jackson, right up the road from us, 16-2, are number three, and Williamson at number seven, 11-2. That rounds out 4A. Let's move on down into 3A. Prattville Christian School, it hadn't been there very long, 21-0. Prattville Christian. Number one in Class 3A in ladies. In our listening audience, Montgomery Academy, 8-6 at number four. Trinity, 16-2 in the River region up there. They're number five. And your boys, T.R. Miller, over in Bruton at number seven. And Montgomery Catholic must be doing something right, Mark. They're in everything there is, whether it be football, basketball, baseball. They're ranked in the top 10 in everything, too. Montgomery Catholic comes in at number eight. In Class 2A, and you know what, as long as we've been doing this and as long as we've been coaching, this team is a team that we talk about a lot. It's called Pisgah. And I don't
know.
It's
on the mountain.
It's on Sand Mountain somewhere. And I just have never been there, but they have always played great basketball.
Yes, they have.
Man, they play. And they get up and down the floor like that number two team, Spring Garden. I bet they don't have 700 kids in their school. And they get up and down the floor in basketball.
That's like K-12 school, too.
It is. It sure is. On the same campus. In 2A. So, and then G.W. Long over in Skipperville, they're number six. And then down in 1A, Well, and let's say this about, we got St. Luke's from here in the Mobile area that's also getting some mention in 1A. Now, here's a new school that I don't know where it is, Mark, where it is. And that's called Skyline. Skyline High School. 1A school, they are number one in girls basketball. Talladega County Central, they're number four. That pretty much knocks out all of those. Lee Scott, for those that are interested in Alabama Independent Schools Association, Lee Scott over in the Auburn-Opelika area is ranked number one. And don't see any other schools in our area that are. In the boys, now this gets real interesting, in the boys, in 7A, Baker High School. Now, one of our buddies, Jeb Blackerby, was a successful coach there at Baker High School, had some great teams, took his team to the Final Four 1 year. Baker High School is now number one ranked in 7A. They're 19-3. Jeff Davis comes in at 2. They're 16-3, but they were upset this week by the Prattville Lions. And so a great win for the Prattville boys as they defeated the Jeff Davis Volunteers earlier this week. But Jeff Davis is in the poll at number 2. Then you have a couple of Birmingham schools, Oak Mountain and Vestavia Hills at 4-5. Up Huntsville way, where the basketball is really strong, Grissom is 17-3, and guess who coaches at Grissom now?
I don't know
that either, do you? That's okay. You're not a basketball aficionado, and that's okay.
Can you spell aficionado?
Yeah, I can, but I'm not going to do it on here. But Grissom, Jack Doss, who's probably the winningest coach in Huntsville High School history.
Yes. I mean,
he's just got so many wins at so many different schools. They come in at 17-3. James Clements, right there next door to them, is 10-7. And they're at number 7. Enterprise is at number 9, and Spain Park at 10. In Class 6A, guy we're going to talk to today, Philip Murphy. His McGill, Tulane, and Yellow Jackets, they're playing in a big tournament, I want to say, over in New Orleans. They're number 1 in 6A, and they are 16-3. Skyline High School is in Scottsboro, Alabama. Thank you, Charlie. Scottsboro, didn't know that. You should know that.
I didn't know it was in Scottsboro.
Okay, it is. It is. That's
Pisgah huge. Is in Jackson County, up there near Ider, above Fort Payne, between Fort Payne and Scottsboro.
Yeah, and you know what? Fort Payne has a record-breaking high school kicker.
Yes, they do.
They do. Kid kicked a 61-yard field goal this year. We're going to talk a little bit about him later on. But congratulations to Philip Murphy and the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets coming to the polls this week at number 1. And like I said, we'll talk to Philip at 9:30 this morning. They're playing in the finals of a really big tournament down in the metro New Orleans area. I think that's where they are playing. Mountain Brook is number 2. Huffman number 4. Spanish Fort. Boy, that's good. Jimbo Talbert's team comes in at number 7. They're 12-6 this week. And Blunt is at number 10, 14-3. In Class 5A, one of the Huntsville teams, Lee of Huntsville, number 1, 13-4. Winona of Birmingham is number 2. Moving on down, nobody from our listening audience is in the other top 10. In 4A, Sumter Central, 10-1, is the number 1 team there. Williamson at number 5, at 15-5. In Class 3A, Plainville is number 1, 16-5. Coach Thomas over at Cottage Hill, 19-4. They're number 2. At Hillcrest Evergreen in the poll at number 4. Montgomery Catholic is at 8 in the boys. Mike Dubos must be helping out coach basketball down at OHOP.
I don't think so.
They're number 9 in class 3A.
I imagine he could coach a little defense.
He can coach pretty much anything. I can tell you that. In class 2A, Midfield is number 1, and St. Luke's comes in at number 9 in the boys. And in class 1A, at little old bitty school right outside of Prattville, Taugaville. And, boy, when they play, they pack that gym wall to wall. And it's just tough to go into Taugaville and win a basketball game. They're number 1 this week. And Skyline Boys up in Scottsboro, they come in at number 6. Faith is at number 9. That can't be. Now, that's not our Faith down here because this is 1A. This is Faith Christian. I'm not sure where that is.
I'm not either.
So that pretty well gives you the roundup of where we are in high school basketball. If you get a chance, go out and support all of your high school basketball teams. And, you know, you have to buy those tickets now. Tell them where they can buy their tickets, Mark. They have to buy them online at What is that address? And that was sent to me earlier, and I don't have that right now. But
I always mess that up. It's not GoFund. It's not a GoFundMe thing. That's not it. It's is it GoFan?
It's something GoFan. Yeah. Let's see if we can find that.
I think that's what it is. You know, the population of Pisgah is 720.
Well, they sure play good basketball. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
720.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to where you can. We'll get that at the break where you can buy tickets to everything, all your basketball. I'm sure we're gonna probably end up doing that in baseball too. And soccer. But is this GoFan.com?
It's GoFan. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right
GoFan.
Now.
GoFan.com. Yep. That's what it is. So
yep. You put that app on your phone, yep. And you can find the game that yep. you want, and you can get into it really easily.
All right, we're going to get out of here. 8:30 already, and we've when you're having fun, it's good stuff. We're talking high school sports. Hey, don't worry. We're going to talk about that thing that's going to happen in Indianapolis. My precious sister's driving on that road now to Indianapolis. Her and her daughter. That sweet, sweet Paige. They are on their way to Indianapolis, two big Alabama fans.
We got a big game tonight.
Yeah, well, we'll
Dallas
be
Cowboys.
Okay, we'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5. Rick and Mark having a blast.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you out there rely on either the state or the federal government and need some help communicating with them sometimes. And so Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. Mark, we were talking a little bit earlier about family, and you coaches at Bayside have got a new addition to the Bayside family.
Absolutely do. One of my favorite people in this world, Caroline B.B. Skato, our middle school girls basketball coach and our girls golf coach. Her and her husband, Bobby, had a little girl on, I think I got this right, it was New Year's Eve. Lily Elizabeth Skato was born to their family. That's Caroline and Bobby's first child, and they're just ecstatic. And you know, Caroline, you know, state champion golfer, two-time state champion yeah. golfer, and tremendous little basketball player, and she coaches there at the school and runs her own business out there off of 181, the venue, and that's her brother's business. And I'm running the brain lock on her business, but I'll give her a shout-out on that. She'll probably text me in a minute and tell me what I've forgotten. But anyway, Caroline and Bobby, congratulations to y'all, and we're just so happy for both of you.
Obviously, a lot of football news going on. And, of course, around Alabama, football, any kind of football, is a 12 months of the year deal. So kind of want to bring you up to date on what's going on in the state of Alabama as far as coaching is concerned. And during this time of year, we have a lot of coaching changes. And I think one that really hit me in the face real hard was a boy named Sean Calhoun up at Vestavia. Made it 1 year. You know, we always talk about how hard it is to replace someone who has been ultra successful and someone who really is – they have this term now called the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time. Right. And I don't know how you differentiate between the great ones and who's greater than someone else. I just think success is something that we give credit for and then move on. But Vestavia Hills is now – Got a new search party out, and don't know who it's going to be. Sean Calhoun has moved on. He's going over to Colquitt County. He came to Vestavia from Carrollton, Georgia, where he was a head coach, but he was formerly the head coach at Carrollton, but he's formerly the offensive coordinator for Rush Probst over at At Colquitt County in Moultrie, Georgia. And, boy, what a great job he did there. And it kind of bothers me a little bit. We get a coach in there for 1 year. Now those kids will have to readjust, but he's got to do what's best for his family, and I'm sure he's working on retirement years over in Georgia. So he's going to go back to Colquitt and take that job there. So that's kind of interesting. The Hoover job has not been filled. Tried to touch base with AD Andy Urban yesterday. He's in meetings most of the day. I'm sure they're trying to narrow their search down. They had opened it up and narrowed it down to a few, and now they've reopened it. Hmm. So seems like that's going to be an interesting thing that they would want to fill pretty quick.
Yes.
It's going to be a tough job to replace Josh Niblett.
Yeah, that's not going to be easy. Because, you know, there's not just about his football, but just kind of the person that he was and things that he did as a coach outside the game of football and outside the weight room, just helping kids be better people. And, you know, that's what this job's all about. And so, yeah, it's not going to be easy finding a replacement for him. Just like, you know, you can't find a replacement for Buddy Anderson.
No.
You're going to find somebody else, but they're not going to replace Buddy for what all Buddy had done for a long, long period of time. You just don't replace that in 1 year.
You know, Mark, and when you look at that, and let me tell you who's the athletic director there. Myra Miles, who was longtime AD at Hoover, then she went to Tennessee and took a job in high school relations and helping Jeremy Pruitt at the University of Tennessee. When all of that stuff went down and Jeremy was replaced, Myra was out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And Myra Miles is one heck of an athletic director. Have the utmost respect for her. Vestavia Hills hired her right off the bat. Got her in there, and she I'm sure she will lead that search for the head football coach. But Marty, he's an offensive coordinator, I think, at Spain Park. Marty Rozelle. His wife is the principal there, either at Homewood or Vestavia. I'm thinking at Vestavia it may be Homewood. But I'm almost positive that she'll be right in the middle of that search too. So they'll find somebody good. They'll get a good football coach. And I kind of heard a little bit about maybe Patrick Nix may be interested in that job.
He doesn't really have a reason to stay there in Phoenix City anymore, except for he's got a tremendous athletic program.
No doubt. Yeah.
And But
they're stuck over in that corner. And, you're away from – you're really away from all the people that, you know, it's a different place to coach.
It is. It's a little different. You're kind of out there by yourself. And
more Georgia than Alabama, really.
True. Because you sit there and border, what is it, Columbus?
Yeah, it's right there in Columbus, yeah.
And so, it's different. But, man, what a tradition-rich program that Ooh. Is. I mean, you're going to have – be able to win football games every year when you go there, because they're going to come out of the woodwork to play ball at Phoenix City.
No doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And up at Deschler in Tuscumbia, we were talking earlier, you know, John Mothershed did such a great job for so many years.
You
know, and it won back-to-back state championships in 4A and in the early 80s. And when you look at that, well, now that's not true. I think it was in the 90s, like 98, yeah. 99, yeah. sometime in there. But Randall Martin has been there for 3 years, 18 and 16. That's just not good enough anymore. It's not. Just being, you know, blunt about it, it's not good enough. And so what they've done, they've gone out and hired one of their former players, a young man that was part of their state championship team in 1999 by the name of Patrick Malone. Now, Patrick Malone has been the defensive coordinator over at Brooks High School. He's coming home to coach at Deschler, so congratulations.
That's a great place.
Must
Deschler's
be.
A great
Must
place.
Be.
I have some family friends that live there in Deschler, just outside of Deschler, and it is a community that loves their school. You know, it's a very isolated community. It's just up there kind of by itself.
Yeah, Tuscumbia, right there.
It's a wonderful, wonderful Man. Place, always has been. And it's like anything else, you know, there's times they have bad times and good times, and they've run through a share of bad times over the last – I don't remember the last time that they were, you know, somebody you just reported on every week.
Yep.
But that's a really strong, strong program in a lot of sports, wrestling, track and field.
Girls
football,
basketball,
girls
they're
basketball,
number one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on and on. So, but bringing one of their alumni back is a big deal, I think,
yeah.
especially a guy who played for Coach Mothershed, who understands how – important it is and what they want to do there, and hopefully he'll follow along the same steps that Coach Mothershed led him.
You know, people talk about tradition, and John Mothershed and those they had some tradition, I'm telling you. And so this young man will bring it back. I mean, it'll be something. They'll start doing things that they did when they were really winning big. And so I'm excited. I know we all should be excited. And by the way, his wife, she's a principal at Rogers High School. Which is 20 miles?
Yeah, right up the street.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat there. So congratulations to Patrick Malone, head football coach at Deschler High School. This time of year, Max Preps always comes out with a high school All-American team, and we had three from Alabama that are first-team members of that All-American team, three of them. We talked about a young kicker, Alex McPherson from Fort Payne, Auburn signee.
Yeah, I know. It's Auburn.
Yeah, so he has a state record, a 61-yard field goal. I think this year he was like 13 or 16 from field goals. So and then kick a 61-yarder. He's first team Max Prep All-American. And then that big defensive tackle that you watched, and you've watched him a little bit on film, and you saw him live. Mm-hmm. That big tackle is going to go to Alabama. Jeremiah Alexander played for Mark Freeman at Thompson, first team Max Prep All-American. I bet you next year Peter Woods will be one of those.
Yeah, I was about to say he may be better. I'm not sure if he is or not, but my goodness, what a couple of players. That boy from Pike Road?
He's the other one, Curtis Perry.
Because I'm going to tell you something. When he doesn't want to be blocked,
yeah,
you're not blocking him.
Mark, is he big enough to play the defensive line in college?
You know, he is going to look – you know, Will Anderson doesn't look like –
No, you're right.
He can play, but if you watch Will Anderson, he's got – as Pete Golding said the other day, he's got heavy hands. When he hits, you know, when those linemen come block him, he has just a way of getting them.
Yeah,
out.
He does.
And this kid, I'm not saying he's Will Anderson. Please don't misquote me. But this kid plays like him. Now, he has a tendency sometimes to get tired and take a play off.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't want to be blocked, I saw him just rip through Pleasant Grove's offensive line.
Big offensive line,
yes,
too. So.
Very big and very good. An offense that hadn't been slowed down.
Yeah.
And he owned the first quarter of that ball game.
He's special. He's special. And so those are the three. McPherson, the kicker, the place kicker from Fort Payne, home of Alabama, the singing group.
Fort Payne's a great place.
Ain't no doubt.
And that kicker is fantastic.
He's good. He's good. He's special. And then, of course, Alexander and Perry, both of those kids will be playing for the University of Alabama, and I think pretty quick.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. Keep an eye on Peter Woods and Tony Mitchell, another defensive back over at Thompson. A lot of people talking about him. Should be an outstanding player. And finally, before we go to break, down at Gulf Shores, Ronnie Royal, the running back who transferred in from over around. Walter Welburn. He transferred in from there. He and Jahil Hurley, a DB from Florence, I believe. Those are guys you got to keep your eyes on next year in 2022. Yes. Hey, when we come back, we're going to spend some time with Mike Knapp. You know, he keeps his composure about as well as anybody I've ever seen in a heated basketball game. Talk to him about the big win for the UMS Wright Bulldogs over the St. Paul Saints. Good morning, Fox Sports Central, Alabama, Sylacauga, Alabama. Good morning down there at 98.3.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
All right, I wanted Mike Knapp to hear a little bit of that Bias Gags. I'm telling you, JoJo's, he's got your back. I promise you that. And there's a lot of people that had Mike Knapp and that UMS Wright Bulldog back last night. That place was rocking. And I've never seen so many cars in 20 years there. I've never seen so many cars for a high school basketball game. Good morning, Coach Knapp. How you doing, pal?
Coach Cleveland, good morning. Man, it was a really great atmosphere in Wilson Gym last night, wasn't it?
Man, it was just telling you, it almost brought tears to my eyes because I've never seen it like that. I've never seen it like now. You may have. You played there. You've seen some great games there. But last night was a tremendous game. And you know, Mike, let's get to the game. I thought we were really fortunate to be only down by four, even though they hit a 40-foot shot to go ahead by four at the end of the half, because offensively we were struggling, and you kept going to your sheet. I know you tried everything you could try to get us going offensively.
Man, it was a frustrating first half. You know, we had some foul trouble early, and you're right. I mean, St. Paul's had us very, very well scouted. The truth is, Coach G's been at probably half of our games this year. And he had us really well scouted. Credit to him. Credit to their defense. They were playing incredibly physically, defensively. It was very difficult for us to operate in the first half. And that got frustrating for me. I know it was really frustrating for our kids. I mean, just nothing came easy. And then you pile foul trouble on top of that. But man, credit to our bench personnel, because we had a weird group on the floor due to foul trouble in terms of personnel. And for us to keep that game, for them to keep us in that game, and like you said, it felt like we should have been down 10 or 15 at half, and we found ourselves only down four. I thought that was really big for giving us a chance to have a good second half and win the game.
Well, and we're talking to Mike Knapp, the head basketball coach at UMS Wright, and you know, a couple of people really stood out to me, and maybe you want to add something to that too, I'm sure. But I thought Will Howard and Barton Elliott, I don't know if there's a better defensive player that I've seen at UMS in a long time. Barton Elliott just gets in your – he gets all over you. I just thought those two were tremendous. Of course, Bridges Simmons was his normal self. A lot of balls wouldn't fall. But I thought between Arthur Chitty, and Barton Elliott and Will Howard, those three guys just really rose to the top in the second half.
You know, all four of those guys had big moments in the game. Arthur led us in scoring and rebounding, had a double-double with 12 and 10. Barton hit three huge threes, and like you said, he's our defensive stopper, man. He gets so many deflections. He's so tough to get by. He can, with his length, he can challenge people at the rim. Will Howard hit a huge three in the third quarter to give us some momentum and spur us on. And then I'll tell you what, I thought one of the big plays of the game in the fourth quarter, when St. Paul still had a chance to get back in it, they got a steal and a breakaway. And, man, Joe Lott came from behind and pinned one to the glass in a play that reminded me of LeBron against the Warriors several years ago in that game six, that famous play he had. It was unbelievable, man.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't mention Joe Lott, because you're exactly right. That was a big, big play, and I mean he sprinted. The kid had a pretty good lead on him, sprinted
huge
and
lead.
Pinned that ball. He pinned the ball on the board. That was a huge, huge momentum shift, I thought, because that's really a 4-point swing. I mean, that's
yeah, no doubt about it.
You take that away from
him. No doubt about it.
And as you go into halftime, Mike, how did you handle that?
Well, you know, we talked about the game plan that we had coming into the game and how we had strayed from it so much. I don't know if it was the intensity of the moment. I don't know if it was the foul trouble, but it was like we didn't have a game plan. And we just talked about what our original plans were and how we wanted to attack them. And look, we either had to do one of two things. We either had to create some offense with our defense, or we were going to have to execute in the half court against pressure. And I didn't know which way it was going to go. I mean, we always like to force tempo and create turnovers and get in transition. But, man, sometimes, Coach, you have to be able to sit down and work against pressure in the half court and execute and get a bucket. And so I thought we were able to do both of those things, actually, in the third quarter. And we had one of the better third quarters we've had all year. But, you know, the kids were poised. They were frustrated, but they were poised, and they knew they were going to win the game.
Well, you hold them to 13 points in the second half. That's yeah. Phenomenal. I mean, that's just phenomenal.
Yeah, six in the third and seven in the fourth. You know, and part of that was we stopped fouling so dang much, man. We fouled so much in the first half and sent them to the foul line, because that was half their points in the first half, was at the free throw line. So, you know, the kids just played a lot better in the second half. I think a lot of it was just the emotions, the atmosphere, the environment. it's a lot to settle down and operate and get your head on straight in those first 8 minutes. And then, you know, by the third quarter, they were adjusted and ready to play the way we play.
and we missed a few free throws. I don't need to tell you this.
A few. No, I told Coach Curtis after the game that he's my new free throw coordinator because that's all he ever talks to me about, how we can't make free throws. So yep. I just said, well, that's your job, buddy. You got 20 minutes a day in the gym. Come in and be the free throw director.
That's good stuff because he always says he's the best free throw shooter at school. He always says that.
He sure does. But I was like, come on, man. Hey, come on.
We need to have a contest. That's all we need to do. Let you get in there with him and shoot free
never
throws.
Never bet against Terry Curtis.
Never bet against Terry.
I'll take help from legends anywhere I can get it.
There you go, buddy. Well, Mike, I wanted to get you on. I apologize I called you so late, and I didn't want to call you late last night, but I did text you. But I'm so proud of the job that you do. And we talked about this early in the year, and I told you, I made a statement. I said, if you win a certain number of games, you're getting – the Dewdrop Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Well, boy, you and your staff have done a great job. Love to see Jonathan Thornton over there, one of your former players, just doing a great job helping and assisting. And boy, that is so much fun to see that kind of enthusiasm and loyalty to your program from so many people last night.
Man, he played for me my first 2 years back at UMS, back in 14 and 15. Has grown into an outstanding young man. And, man, our kids, they respect him, but they also, it's nice to have somebody that can relate to them and some of the things that, some of the music they listen to and some of the things they do.
Right.
Because I'm getting older, man, and it's hard for me to always be up on the current trends and topics. And he's such a good dude for those guys to be around, man. I love Johnny. I'm so glad he's back. Luke Spalding, John Norris. They're all fantastic, man. We have a fun staff to work with, and they work really hard.
They do a great job. Well, Mike, enjoy your weekend. A lot of great basketball on TV today. I can tell you that. A lot of great college, but I know you are so family-oriented. There's no telling what you got going on today, but have a great weekend, pal.
Man, I'll probably watch the Tigers and the Gators today. I won't lie.
Okay. Take care of my boy Davis, okay?
You got it, man.
We'll see you, pal. Great day. Mike now. Boy, what a great job he's doing.
Absolutely.
Man. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
It's time for the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
All right, welcome back to hour number two of Prep Sports Report, the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. You know, Premier Collision is your home for all your auto body and collision problems. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. Give our friend Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500. They're located at 1177 Sledge Drive. And I can promise you, when you walk in and you see Chris and his staff, you become family. And if you have any needs, any automotive needs at all, you give Chris a call. Or drive up there. I do it all the time. Drive up there. They'll have you in and out as quick as they possibly can to get it fixed in the best manner that they possibly can with the best parts and the best technicians around. That's Chris Garris, Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. You know, Alabama High School Athletic Association went through a change in executive directors in the last year. And Alvin Briggs, Greenville native, heck of a high school football player, heck of a high school coach, just a guy that if you know him, you love him. And we get a chance every once in a while to chat with him. And let me tell you, When I called him last week and I said, I hope you're having some time to rest. You know what his response was? I said, well, I can't. Y'all keep calling me. Sounded dislike who? Who did he sound dislike? He sounded dislike. He's our buddy Sam. Good morning, Alvin Briggs. How you doing, pal? Is he listening to us? Or did he hang up on me?
No, he's here.
Alvin Briggs.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Hey, buddy.
Well, we just couldn't
How
wait
you doing,
to
Coach?
Hear you.
I wouldn't hang up on you, Rick.
You might. You just might.
Alvin, that happens to Rick a lot, though.
I should say yes, I would hang up on Rick. I would hang up on you, Coach.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that, Alvin. Yeah.
Hey, you got to have a good guy and a bad guy, I guess, Alvin. So I guess I wear those wings, and that's okay. That's okay. Let's have a State of the Union. Let's talk a little bit about, your tenure so far and how you feel and just where we are.
We're very lucky. It's been normal. I mean, it's been the same work I've been used to the last 10 years. The only difference, I don't have Coach Sav at the end of the hall to go talk to and bounce stuff off of, but I do call it, so it's not far away. Coach did a great job. He had a great staff he hired before he got out of there. And, it's great. We have great people that is working and doing their job and doing the things that they know to do. It's been good. Things have come, and I got hired right at the beginning of classification, so that was the first hurdle, and I think we've crossed that hurdle and did classification, had a great fall sports championships, and it was outstanding, and now we're getting ready to go into our winter championships here in a couple of weeks, and so it's rocking and rolling.
You know, Coach, there's so many things that are going on. Like I was looking at, I don't see how, I honestly, I've never been able to figure out how you guys keep up with all the things that are going on. But like right now it's January and classifications get started. People start getting ready for, getting their schedules done and bombarding Dragonfly with schedules for the next fall, for the spring sports eligibility, all that stuff going in. And then, I was reading something today about I didn't even realize until one of our kids at Bayside said something about the dual wrestling championships of kind of qualifications, and that tournament starts, I think, next Saturday. Is that the state championship for the duels?
Well, we still don't have that's a tournament format. It's not a state championship. So that tournament format does start in a couple of weeks, and we'll be getting that going, and then getting ready for sectional wrestling and indoor state championship and track and
right
Olin state championships. That's what I'm saying. It starts turning over pretty quick, and area basketball players start, and next thing we have regional basketball and state basketball.
Yeah, it just seems like things are just keep on rolling, and then the spring sports get started, and there's a whole another set of things you have to cover and take care of. And just how are things going? I know you got a great staff up there, got some great people in your office. But one thing that I do know is coming up is proposals will start going out. I think those things get on the athletic director's desk in March. Is that correct? February or March?
Well, February, we sent out an email and through Dragonfly, and we sent out another email blast, let them know how to do the proposal process and getting those in. They have about a month to get those in before we start the voting process, we go through that, that various process. And before you know it, April will be around before we have the Legislative Council and the board in there to ratify or any possible changes when it comes to proposals. So yes, that that's going on, and we always have a number of schools and a number of the membership that propose different things.
That thing, and Alvin, so people understand. Explain to our listeners a little bit, because we hear all the time. I've heard it from yourself and Coach Sav and Coach Washburn. When I listen to all of them talk, that the High School Athletic Association is run by the member schools, and this proposal process is part of that way that gets done. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yes, you know, we are a membership driven organization. You know, that's a misnomer that it's a dictatorship where, you know, the association make all the bylaws and you know, dictate, but we are membership driven, bylaw written by membership, and they get to propose all our bylaws, all our ratifications. And then based on, you know, the ones that are put in, we have our legislative council and our board come in and ratify them and, make them, you know, if they're are voted on by two-thirds of the membership and passed by the membership, the board and the legislative council, which is made up of 32 members across the state. You know, I guess I should mention that our state is broken down into 8 districts.
Right.
And within those 8 districts, each district has 4 board members who are part of the legislative council, who they vote on, not appointed on by the executive director, not appointed by anybody in the High School Athletic Association office. It is voted on by the membership in each district.
Right.
And they put together a legislative council who then meet twice a year to go over bylaws and ratify those proposals that are passed on. They vote based on how their membership vote in their district. Each one of the bylaws proposals are voted on by the membership, and that's how we based on how we propose and do bylaw changes. And we have some that we do have change, and some that we don't. You know, the membership, again, it's membership driven. That's who proposes. It's a democratic process, and we at the association office just govern those bylaws that our membership write and propose, and they're ratified by the legislative council and the board members.
Well, the tradition continues.
Yes,
people with that those of us in the coaching profession have great respect for lead the Alabama
That's
High
right.
School Athletic Association, and no one better than yep. Alvin Briggs could have been chosen. We got to get out of here, pal, but thank you so much for taking time with us this morning, and it's okay.
Wait a minute.
What?
I know when Coach came on, he got 30 minutes, Rick.
Yeah, but you know why that was? Let me tell you why that was. I promise you. He said, it's the only time I get to say what I want to say.
All right.
But I, you know what? If I didn't have somebody scheduled, I'd give you an hour because you deserve that.
Thank you, Rick. That's all I need to hear.
All right, buddy. We love
Alan,
you.
Thank you, pal.
You take care, pal. God bless.
Here and back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Mark?
Hey, well, I got a couple of folks I want to recognize this morning. Really a couple of businesses. Southern Farms Honey in Spanish Fork is just a place that we got some honey for there for Christmas, and it was delicious. Southern Farms Honey, they offer delicious honey. They have special touches of infusing honey with jalapenos, habaneros, called a stinging sweet honey, and offers other types with cinnamon and creamed cinnamon pecan varieties. Just do a great job there. Southern Farm Honey. Look those up, folks, if you want to get some good honey. It's really good. And with that honey, you can stop by Refuge Coffee Roasters in Fairhope. There's 2 places in Fairhope that you can go there. Refuge Coffee is a place that they have all kinds of coffee from all kinds of regions around the country, around the world. They brew it there inside their own store and just do a great job. It's a place you could come to get great coffee that shows off the regions, not the roast. We do intentional and meticulous sourcing, roasting, and cupping to make sure we use great coffee. So go buy Refuge Coffee in Fairhope and enjoy some really good coffee.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and let's go to the Pops Midtown communication lines. Talk to James. What's up, traveling man?
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Mark. And Charlie, it's an absolutely gorgeous day where I am traveling, and I hope when I left Mobile early this morning, it looked like it was going to be the same kind of day with a little bit of a cool breeze, but it's so beautiful today. Roll Tide.
Yeah, this will mark the 15th time in the last 16 seasons and probably, what, the 17th overall since 1998 that we've got a team from the SEC that has advanced to the national championship game. And, you know, Alabama defeats Georgia to win the SEC title, and now they come back and play them again after two, you know, kind of dull games, Alabama over Cincinnati and Georgia over Michigan. And while a lot of us were hoping for Alabama-Michigan, we got Alabama and Georgia. Can Alabama do it again, James?
Well, you know, both Georgia and Alabama, it's obvious in watching them in the playoffs that they're just heads above any of the other competition from the other regions. And the question becomes, in my opinion, in this game, who can punish the other team the most? In other words, I expect both sides to have so much adrenaline that the first series that each of the teams have could be one that could be explosive, could be scoring. I'm not sure exactly. It's going to take at least one series for these guys to settle down in what I call, and both of y'all know, the football groove, where you've got the jitters out of the way and can do that. I think that it's going to be running very – the emotions are very high. You're going to see a little rumble a couple of times, I think, on the field. But I think both coaches are not going to change a lot about what they've done. Maybe some few looks at it. But I believe that Alabama edges Georgia out again. I don't think it'll be by the same spread, but I think it's going to be a 38-31 or 41-30. I just see this game being a tighter game. But I'm concerned about targeting this game because the emotions are so high, some of these players defensively. But I think Alabama's defense is really stepping up, and I think this is going to be the game that they truly peak at. Georgia looked very awesome offensively the other day. They showed Alabama they can take the ball deep. They also showed Alabama a couple of trick plays that may have to look at if they're running around there. But I think Bryce Young, the receivers they have, will step up. I think you'll see Williams coming out of the backfield a good bit, some slants. Georgia's going to have to bring the heat. If they let Bryce Young sit back there, they'll pick them apart. So it's going to be different. What are your thoughts, guys, on what you see on this game, Mark?
I see the same thing. I see a different defensive mentality coming from Georgia. I think they felt like they could beat Alabama's front with their front four defensive linemen. Sometimes they brought five in that first game. But I think this time you're going to see them bring six and seven. I think the only way you can not the only way, but a way you can beat Alabama's offense is to make Bryce uncomfortable. And there's a couple of ways I see people doing that. When you get a good – he doesn't do as well when he flushes the perimeter as he does when he goes inside the pocket, walks up, moves around inside the pocket, and then finds a lane to throw and makes a throw downfield. When he goes outside, it cuts off half the field for him. So I think you'll see a press from the inside with their blitzes in their front and their outside guys just trying to contain him so he doesn't have a place to go, but not letting him step up in the pocket. I think that's what you're going to see in this ball game. I think defense is going to be – Georgia's defense is going to have a little bit different mentality because their weakness on defense is their secondary. Their front seven is very, very good and very, very athletic. I expect to see a lot of blitzing from them on their defense. I think Alabama's going to have to throw the ball effectively to win. I think the kicking game is going to become huge in this ball game. I think this one's going to be a lot closer than the first one. I think that this game's going to be real close. I still think as it comes down to the end of the game, Alabama wins by a field goal.
You know, and I'm on the other side of that in the sense that Mark thinks that they got to throw the ball to win the game. I think Alabama's got to throw the ball to win any game. But in this game, I think they're going to try to put pressure on the Alabama quarterback, and I think they better be able to run the football extremely well, because if they don't, then if Robinson doesn't have the kind of game that he's capable of having, and he has every time he's been on the field, they're just absolutely going to put so much pressure on Alabama's passing game, that the run game, I think, is the key. If they rush for over 140 yards, I think they win the game. If they don't rush for over 140 yards, then I think there's a problem. The other problem I see is they didn't have an answer for Brock Bowers, a freshman tight end from the Napa Valley, California. 52 receptions this year, and I thought he was the dominant offensive player for Georgia in the first game. And I'm sure that that's one thing that Coach Saban's going to have Coach Golden take out of the game plan. This guy can't beat us. And when they throw the football, they throw it to that tight end. And they've got two tight ends that are really good.
They do.
So I'm just thinking that that's a key. I still believe for Alabama to win this game, they've got to run the ball with extreme, extreme success. And they've got to be able to play better at right tackle than they played against Auburn. They played much better against Georgia. But if they come back and play at right tackle the way they played against Auburn, there's going to be problems. And I can promise you, this is Dan Lanning's last game as a defensive coordinator at Georgia. He takes the head coaching job at Oregon. I can promise you that they're going to exploit what they saw as a weakness in games prior to the SEC championship game, and that was the offensive line. And that, to me, is the key to winning the game.
I think it's huge, Rick, what both of y'all have said, and I see some, you know, you come at Bryce Young with some blindside, what I call blindside blitz delayed from that corner coming in on him. That's been a weakness of his. The running game, I agree with you, is key. Alabama puts together a running game to slow them down a little bit and come through, shoot the right gaps, then that's going to be a problem for Georgia, and they'll dominate the line. It's definitely, Saban knows he has to have a running game. The entire team knows it. I think both of these coaches are going to have their teams being ready to play at their optimum levels. I think it will be a fabulous game to watch, and it is great and it's such an honor for the Southeastern Conference to again have two teams of this caliber playing in the national championship games, which says volumes about what the Southeastern Conference is like. Bryce Young has to have the kind of game he did the first time, and he has to have the kind of game that doesn't give up the ball, and if he does that, then Alabama wins. But if Georgia, now the Alabama's always had a problem with this. Remember the Clemson game. Alabama's had a problem with a single person beating them. And this tight end from Georgia, if they don't get an answer for him, he will beat them single-handedly. Go back to the Clemson game when he's playing with the Raiders now and just went over 1,000 yards. I've forgotten his name, Rick. But this young man has done a great job with left Clemson, went out the Raiders, and just doing a tremendous job. But Alabama's had a problem with when one man starts getting behind gets behind on them. So,
well, and they've got two tight ends.
They
got two tight ends. They can put that big number 9, I think, Washington, in the game. He's equally as good. And I think on the other side, we've only got about 15 seconds here, James, Latu, who has been phenomenal for Alabama at tight end. Jaleel Billingsley's got to break out at some point in time. We said this years ago when the young tight end from Otago Academy.
Howard.
He broke out. James, you're the one that told us that. He had a breakout game. Those tight ends have got to have a breakout game.
Got to be that way. You have a wonderful rest of the show. I've been listening to it. I'm out of range now. I'm going to Jackson, Mississippi. Roll Tide.
Take care.
Take care, James.
Y'all take care.
See you soon. God bless. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report right here on Fox Sports Central Alabama and FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We're talking basketball this morning amongst national championship talk and talking with our buddy Alvin Briggs at the Alabama High School Athletic Association. We want to bring in the coach of the number one ranked 6A team in the state of Alabama, the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets, our buddy and guy that we love dearly here, Philip Murphy. He's over in the metro New Orleans area somewhere. These guys play anybody, anywhere, anytime. Fresh off of a William Mitchell tournament championship over at UMS, right? Coach Philip Murphy, the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
No, I'm good. How are you guys? Good morning.
Mark's out in the hall dancing, and that's a funny sight. I mean that. But you guys are at the Ilario Center. I get, is that in Metro New Orleans outside? Where is that?
Yeah, it's actually on the West Bank. It's actually technically West Wego, Louisiana.
Wow. Well, yeah. for a guy from Pelham, Alabama, that's west. That's really west. But you play Ellender this afternoon at 5 o'clock, and talk a little bit about this team. Of course, a Barry Dunning led team. Arkansas signee had a tremendous tournament over at our tournament at UMS Wright. But let me tell you this, and I saw you early in just a little scrimmage. And please, people, don't take this wrong. This ain't a one-man team. This just ain't a one-man team. You have surrounded him with some tremendous players. Talk just a little bit about your basketball team, Phillip.
No, I mean, it's not a one-man team. I mean, we play 12 guys a night. Those not in the coaching world won't understand, but playing 12 guys is not easy. But, we've got 12 guys that, we feel comfortable putting on the floor at any point in time. And it's a special group. I mean, being on the road with them and just seeing how they interact with each other and how they lead each other. And they're team-led. The coaches kind of, we make adjustments and obviously do the minor coaching adjustments with them. But this team leads each other. It's different than any group I've had in 20 years of coaching. The sky's the limit for these guys. I mean, they need things to fall into place, but it's definitely a special group.
When you look at Alabama high school basketball and you look at the 6A rankings, and Phillip, I know these are sports writers, and they might not have ever made a free throw or even made a layup, but sure. What they do is they promote the game of basketball. And when you look at this team and you see the other teams that you will compete with for a state championship, first thing that pops up with me is Mountain Brook.
Oh, yeah, sure. And, we're keeping an eye on that. But, we're looking at big picture, but we're game by game. I'm not going to back away from it. I haven't from the start of the season. We're really good. It's a special group. You don't see this come around that often. But we're game by game. We're thankful to be ranked, first in 6A. But, our guys understand that doesn't mean anything. It's an honor. It's great for publicity, but it doesn't mean anything. We're not buying into that. We're worried about finishing. We're worried about, game by game, getting better and squeezing out the most we can out of this special group.
When you look at the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jacket basketball team and the depth that you have and the way you play them on the floor and the pressure that you play defensively, you think about the intensity that comes from on the defensive side of the ball, because I really believe that everything that when I saw you, everything that – and I hadn't had a chance to come watch you. It's just been a tie other than that first initial thing. Everything's predicated off of that defensive end of the floor.
No, there's no question about it. And, I've been shocked. I've had six coaches text me after they played us this year, some of them that I don't know very well. And their texts afterward are, my goodness, y'all are really good defensively. And that's a huge compliment to us, but huge compliment to our kids. I mean, we've really focused on the defensive end. We had some struggles defensively last year for whatever reason, and we've really locked in to making sure that doesn't happen again. And our guys have bought into it. They understand defense travels. We're not going to be great offensively every night. We weren't great offensively last night, but defense will keep us in there until we can make a run or keep us in there until, we're in a dogfight in the fourth quarter. So defense travels. We're going to continue defending, and, that's what we're going to claim our stake on.
You told me off the air, Phillip, that you've kind of changed a little bit from what you've done in the past 20 years. As a football coach and as a basketball coach, I never really worried about the other team. I'd break film down, do whatever we could. But I was always worried about my team and what my team could do in any given situation and try to prepare them for every situation that they would face. I think I hear you saying that really right now with this team, what we worry about and what we coach up is we coach up our team. And what the other team does, we've got to be prepared to handle it, to meet it, and then do what we do best.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the first time in 20 years of coaching that I haven't spent hours upon hours looking at the other team, and it's not a it's not an overconfidence thing. It's just I really trust this group of guys. They're a mature group, and I know if they focus on doing what they do best, that we're going to be fine against any opponent. And that's not discounting any opponent. I mean, obviously we're looking at them, but we're not diving in and spending hours, you know, on scouting reports. Our guys are mature enough to handle it on the fly, and we just keep telling them our motto this year is just us. Just worry about us, what's in the locker room, and what we've got to do, and we're going to be just fine.
Well, that's pretty obvious because the way your team plays, and they play with extreme amount of confidence, but not an arrogant style of confidence, and I love that about it. And that comes from the coaches. I mean that. You guys have confidence, and it's always – hey, if I mess up, I mess up. My coach gets on to me, and we move on. And I love that about what you do, Philip. Always have. I know you got a long day today. You got kids on the road. You got coaches. And I just hope you have a great day, and we're pulling for you to win that tournament. And we'll check you down the road soon, okay?
Yep, we appreciate that. And as always, we appreciate you having me on.
Hey, I'm not going to have a show that I don't have Philip Murphy on. I can promise you that, pal. You know that. We go back way too far. Good luck.
Right.
God bless, and we love you, pal. Take care.
All right, coach. Thank you.
We'll see you soon. It's Philip Murphy. He does a heck of a job, Mark. I'm telling
you. Yeah, he does.
Man, they play basketball the way that people in Kentucky play basketball. I mean, it's something to watch them play. That defense is smothering. It's like putting a lid on the other team's offense, and they just do a tremendous, tremendous job on the defensive end of the court. I want to go back to a little bit about some of the things that James said and you said about this Alabama-Georgia matchup. How hard is it for a coach to look at an opponent and try to beat them a second time?
I think the coach – I don't think it's hard for the coach. I think it's hard for the coach to get the message across to the kids.
Yeah.
The coach – you know, coaches – Coach Saban is the master of
– no doubt.
Getting his kids ready to play, and he'll find a way to do that, and I'm hoping that they will. But I don't think it's nearly as much about Alabama getting ready to play as it is about the steamrolling that Georgia may have in their hip pocket for
right.
this ball game. Because they're going to be coming in there with a they're going to be a little angry and a little bit mad about losing that first time, and they're going to want to get back on track. They want to win this national championship. And they're tired of hearing about Alabama's won, what, seven times in a row or something like that. They're tired of hearing all that stuff. And so I have a feeling Georgia's really going to come play hard. And it ought to be a whale of a ball game. It really should be. I think Alabama's – to me, the biggest question in this game is Alabama's right guard and right tackle.
No doubt.
That's the question in the ball game.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. They're nicked up a little bit.
They are.
They got some people nicked up.
They'll start a true freshman at right guard, and Latham will be starting at right guard. I don't think Ikeor is ready to play. I haven't heard anything, but I don't think he's ready to play. And then, of course, we've struggled at, you know, right tackle all year long. Bama has. They started, you know, we've had two or three different people there, and I just, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out. But they played good the last time. But Ikeor did play right guard last time, and Emil Ikeor is his name. But J.C. Latham, true freshman, came in for him in the Cincinnati game at right guard, and now he's a freak. He's a five-star player, but he's a freshman, and he hadn't played. He's behind Ikeor for a reason. So we'll find out.
How big is the kicking game in this game?
It's huge.
See, people, I think sometimes we tend to overlook that, and I just think it is huge. I'm like you on it. And field position, when you can flip a field, when you can do that, playing conditions are going to be as best they can be because they're indoors, 70 degrees.
Absolutely.
It's a perfect location to play a national championship game. I think we always have to play these championship games in January, late January. We got to play them indoors.
I
just think we got to play them indoors, and that the elements don't need to be a part of it. They just don't need to be a part of it. Score.
Mm. Man, it's hard to go against my Tide.
How can you go against?
I'm not going to. Alabama 38, Georgia 35.
Well, I can't see. First of all, I couldn't go against Nick Saban. I think he's the best coach that's ever coached college football. You got the Heisman Trophy winner. You got the premier defensive player in America. I think Alabama wins the game 28-24. That's where I am with that. I do want to mention this. We have an amazing sponsor on our show who lost his mom yesterday. Charlie Elliott is a dear friend and has done everything and continues to do everything he can to help high school sports in the Metro Mobile Baldwin County area. He lost his mom this week, and our prayers and sympathy go out to Charlie, his amazing brothers, and just to the wonderful, wonderful family. And please keep Charlie Elliott and his family in your prayers. We'll be right back with the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report with the Camp Grace segment. You don't want to miss it right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This is going to be a tough one. I'm going to read a little something for you before I start. When we lose someone we love, we must learn not to live without them, but to live with the love they left behind. Yesterday marked 1 year since the passing of my father-in-law, and a man that I grew to love and respect, not only as my father-in-law, his family, but as my friend. He's always there for me. Not to mention his daughter and his wife and his son and the grandkids. This is just my little story on it, on being a part of his life and him being a part of mine. When I think about Bobby Waldrop, I think of the life of the party. Everywhere he was, he loved the simple things. He loved them. He loved his family. He loved his God. He loved Auburn football. I mean, that man loved him some Auburn football. And he loved to talk about it. But more than anything else, Bobby loved life. He loved it every single day that he lived. He was a guy who, little things I remember, he did. He goes, "Mark, I'm going to step outside and get my 15 minutes of sun." I was like, "What are you talking about?" But every day, Bobby would step out there on the back deck and sit in the sun for about 15, 20 minutes. He'd say, "I'm going to go work out, y'all. I'll see y'all in a little bit." Little did I know, he was going down to the rec center to work out. He worked out for 20 minutes and drank coffee for 2.5 hours and told stories with a bunch of his buddies down there at the place. And they had a ball. I'm going to tell you, they had a ball. He had come home and make different types. He had cornbread, some of the best I ever ate. Banana nut bread, best I ever ate. Loved to cook hamburgers. And last night, we had a dinner at the house, and we cooked hamburger steaks in his honor. My hamburger steak, not as good as Papa's. But we had them. And then we watched True Grit. He loved Western movies. And we watched True Grit, and we told stories. And, you know, as I look, one thing I did, Rick, that I thought right before I went outside and cooked hamburgers, I called my mom and daddy and told them I loved them. Yeah. I still can do that. And I don't do it enough. I remember when I had my heart attack, I remember my my oldest son Brooks wrote something on Facebook. He says, you know, I get to tell my dad I love him again. He said, I didn't know if I was going to be able to. I say all this, tell you all this story, not to make you sad about stuff, but to give, it gives me hope. It gives me hope that we're on this planet, we're on this world to do something in our life. And for years, I thought it was to be the best football coach that I could ever be. It's all, you know, yada, yada, and all the other stuff. Yeah, I want to be a good husband, good family man, good, and do all those things. I did. But that wasn't my God. That wasn't my ultimate. I had to be the best football coach around. I'm sorry, honey. I got to go down to school and do something. I wish I had learned what I learned from my father-in-law. I wish I'd listened to my daddy more when I was younger. So that, and my mama, when they tried to tell me things, because what they did is they instilled in me something that I didn't know was there. All of them did in their own way. And as I look at my life today, what is my life all about? My life ought to be about doing something every single day of my life, not for anything other than just to help somebody. Not to get accolades or attaboys or any stuff like that. Just to help somebody. There are people in this world, Rick, that are hurting. They hurt. And I want it to be like when I think about my father-in-law, and it's joy. I'm just telling you, I miss him. There are times I'm sitting in my recliner at the house, or I'm at work, or I'm doing something, and a thought comes into me about something he would say or do, and it just breaks my heart. But, you know, I only miss him for a minute, because then I start laughing about what he would be, what I miss, you know?
Yeah.
So as coaches and teachers and mamas and daddies, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, man, I have got to do a better job today than I did yesterday about making someone's day better today, doing what God intended for us, which his greatest commandment he ever gave was love one another. That's what it said, love one another. Do we do that every day? Or do I have my own agenda sitting in front of me that's all – it's all important? Or is it important to edify somebody's spirit today, to make somebody feel better? You know, my partner here, Rick Cleveland, calls me sometimes just to call me to make me feel better about my day, just to aggravate me or say something. Because I'm going to tell you something. I still remember the day I walked into UMS Right to work, and I was in the locker room, and this man walks over to me and puts his hand on me and says, "You need anything while you're here, I'm here to help you." Now, I knew Rick. I knew Rick. I didn't know him like I know him today. And he did that out of the goodness of his heart. Didn't have to do that. Didn't have to do that. Now, what are we, 12 years later, we're doing a show together. We talk 3 or 4 times a week. He aggravates the mess out of me. But my gosh, what a ministry that is in and of itself. And isn't that what we're supposed to do, pal?
That's right.
That's what we're supposed to do. And those kids I get to coach Monday or see Monday, that's what they deserve. Every single day, and I hope God lets me wake up a few more days that I can go and do that and do it right. Thank you all for listening to me ramble a little bit this morning. Bobby Waldrop, I love you, and I miss you. Thank you for what you put in my heart.
And he knows that, Mark. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are broken, got broken relationships, even with inside their families. And I hope you'll fix that. I hope you will, because we're not promised tomorrow, and we need to repair the damage that we've made or has been taking place in our life. Hey, catch our buddy Randy Bergen tomorrow on Southern Fairways Golf and Radio Show. You can catch Randy tomorrow on FM Talk 106.5 in Fox Sports Central Alabama, right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central Alabama from 11 to 12 noon. Don't want to miss it. Covers everything about golf on every level. Hey, folks, remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same place, same time next week.